Let us now look at a Big Bang approach and scenarios where a Big Bang approach is generally preferred. So say if there are projects like a ERP implementation. So ERP is nothing but enterprise resource planning, where the organization can choose to implement all the facilities simultaneously and then ensure that these all functionality gets delivered on one single date. So let's take an example of a IT system, and you guys may be familiar with it. There's a company called as SAP, and SAP has this different modules. Now they would have a different module for finance, they will have a different module for material management, a different module for inventory management, and so on. So if an organization wants to deploy, say, a ERP system for customer management, and depending upon the criticality, they would want to roll this out as one single priority, one single go live date, then they would choose a Big Bang approach. This means that all the implementation activities for all the modules happen in parallel. If there are multiple resources that are required, they will have to work in parallel. Maybe they are located across different offices. Even if they are located across different geographies, the important thing from a project manager's perspective is that he will have to collate all these efforts to ensure that everything gets delivered and people start working in one cohesive unit to deliver the functionality. Integrated testing happens, and it's done simultaneously, so that the company is able to deliver everything in one particular day. And they would choose a delivery timeline. Maybe it's start of the year, maybe it's between a year, and so on. In this situation, many organizations take this project execution approach called as a Big Bang approach. So needless to say, projects which are absolutely critical for the organization in terms of the overall, say, a revenue potential, or in terms of the overall criticality, would take a Big Bang approach. In case, and this is the most common example that you see on your screen, things like a ERP system, where, say, organizations cannot live without it. Just assume a scenario, say, a paints company like a Asian Paints have a inventory management system, or say companies like say a tire manufacturer, or any manufacturing company for that matter, they would want to have an automated system for inventory management. Now, if this particular system has to get rolled out, it has to get rolled out in one particular date, right? You cannot have individual small milestones or small phases for this particular project. That is because it actually impacts the business, and that is the reason why a Big Bang approach is suitable for this particular project. There are obvious reasons that we looked at. The organization as a whole would like to switch over maybe to a new accounting methodology at the beginning of the year. That's where a Big Bang approach might be needed. And typically this comes along with the regulations. Say in 2023, where IRDA, that is the Insurance Regulator Development Authority, is thinking about introducing IFRS 17 for the insurers, they have not yet put in a date. But when they put a date saying that all insurance companies have to be compliant with IFRS 17 by, say, March 2024. So in this case, all the insurers will take a Big Bang approach, ensure that their accounting standards are changed from the current accounting standard to IFRS 17, and this get delivered on a particular date. Due to statutory compliance, as we just explained when we saw the example of banks changing their accounting standard from IND AS to IFRS 9, the entire organization might be forced to switch over to a revised way of working in a single date, So these are some of the places where a big bang approach is absolutely required. For projects involving upgrades to the existing systems, say there is a new functionality that has to be added in, say, a e-commerce website. Say there is a new sale that is about to get announced, or there is some change in terms of the import policy, where all these e-commerce companies would make a very strong sales revenue. So these kind of upgrades to the existing functionality has to be dealt in a big bang approach, and many geographic units might be required. Again, say taking an example of an e-commerce company like a Flipkart or Amazon, which wants to reap the benefits out of, say, the new import policy. So you would have multiple different people working across different geographies, working on the same ERP system, where the system gets upgraded to take benefit of the decision. So that's, again, an area where a big bang approach might be really suitable. Say a very large project of our organization, and so let's discuss what it entails for a big bang approach. So one is a project of a large magnitude, very high criticality, requires a very strong project management office. Needless to say, because the project manager is the single point of contact, who is the owner of that particular project, there needs to be a very strong team in place to ensure that the big bang approach gets delivered properly. The project manager office, or the project manager in this case, needs to coordinate the activities across the different stakeholders, both internally and externally. Say look at a central team, maybe form a task force who then works with the extended team. So maybe the project manager would have multiple different sub-project managers under that particular team, and the sub-project managers who would be the respective owners for those functionalities. They would then work with the different domain consultants, functional experts, coders, and so on. Because it's big bang approach, it's absolutely critical, and there cannot be a case where the timelines get missed, because these are more meant for statutory reasons, compliance reasons. Companies cannot afford to miss the deadlines, because there are legal actions, punitive actions that could be taken. This also requires a large central project infrastructure to house, say, the central teams. So you might want to use multiple different collaborative tools, ensure that all the people are brought on one single platform and there are no gaps in communication. There could be things like daily stand-up meetings to know the progress that has happened, or there could be weekly milestones meetings that could be acted as points of checks to see where exactly is the project progressing. Is it delivering the promise, or is it progressing as per what was envisioned, or there are certain gaps because of which there is a delay. So all these things require a lot of coordination, and the project management office has to be absolutely strong in terms of coordinating the efforts across multiple different stakeholders. The scheduling of the entire project has to be done meticulously and has to be planned and executed to achieve the results. And that's where the role of the project management and the project management office becomes more critical. The allocation of the PMOs and the project managers, and because they are so critical when it comes to delivering a big bang project, they have to work with the extended teams, with virtual teams in many cases, teams that spread across multiple different geographies, teams that could be with multiple different domain functional consultants, with multiple different people with technical skills across different geographies. So the point here is that Big Bang approach, if it has to be delivered, then it has to be FTR, that is first time right. There are no rooms for errors, and the role of the project management office is absolutely critical, because it is that particular office that coordinates the efforts across multiple different stakeholders. Sometimes, even in the Big Bang approach, the project gets divided into smaller sub-functional projects, or say location-based projects that could be managed by individual project managers. As I mentioned, if there is a very big functionality that has to be delivered in one single go, that functionality can be divided into multiple different small sub-functionalities. There could be individual project managers looking after each small functionality, and all these efforts get then channelized or get driven by the central project management office. This way, it is easy to track the overall project run, and with ownership from the individual project managers and the involvement of the central project management team, it becomes easy to navigate project of this kind. Big Bang approaches, which require significant resources, affect a large part of the organization and also require approval and the right kind of mindset from the top management team. Needless to say, things which involve statutory or legal or compliance states, they any which ways have a lot of mindset from the top management, because if the top management doesn't get involved, they are bound for legal action. So generally, places where there is a Big Bang approach suggested, the top management is aligned with the business objectives, and the top management would be also in things like steering committee meetings, some meetings which take into account status checks on a periodic level. It could be maybe say a fortnightly meeting, depending upon how critical it is to deliver within the time frame, or say monthly meetings, cadence meetings. Top management might want to get involved, or at least know what is happening behind the scenes, so that they are updated about the progress, and they could look at their business in a more different way. Steering committee meetings for such large project usually comprises of members from the executive board. So periodic review. So again, a case in time, say a big bank wants to do, say a risk strategy to ensure that the credit risk that it gives or that it gives to its end lenders is compliant with RBI. Say if RBI would have released a new guidance saying that the credit exposure of certain people have to be limited. So in this case, a Big Bang approach is taken in terms of the functionality. But more importantly, the top management gets involved, because at the end of the day, it's their business at stake, and they are responsible for the overall profitability. So in such cases, top management would be part of things like the steering committee meetings, that is a periodic review at the apex level, is generally recommended to ensure that the project deliverables, the small milestones that are crafted, are absolutely met with. And this also means that corrective action can be taken, and it provides a escalation path if things don't go well. And this escalation path can be on both sides. It's not always that the software vendor who provides the functionality might be at fault. It could also be that the organization might not be providing the business inputs. So the project management office can use the steering committee meeting as a point of escalation to drive towards better decision making. The project management and the PMO team must be aware of the potential issues, that could impede the project's progress and significantly impact the overall schedule. What are the places to avoid the Big Bang approach? The Big Bang approach, as we studied in the previous slides, it's absolutely resource hungry. It needs a very strong PMO team. It requires multiple stakeholders, focus from the top management, and the criticality and the IT savviness of the users. So if there are no stringent reasons why a Big Bang approach is needed, organizations should generally avoid an all-in-one-go strategy. Creating such large projects might have their own internal challenges in terms of, say, the cost challenges, in terms of resource availability and other challenges that we spoke about. And also, there are multiple different units of the organization who might be at different level of maturity. Some people might not really understand the IT systems. Some might want to prioritize some other projects. So in those cases, it is better that the Big Bang approach gets is taken a backseat and more a phased approach is kind of taken. Having looked at the Big Bang approach, let us now look at the phased approach. Look at the pros and cons of phased approach and also evaluate situations where phased approach might be better. For projects like ERP implementation, some organizations take another approach, which is a phased approach, which means that the entire project gets divided into smaller chunks, smaller functionalities, and then gets delivered as single phase. The milestones in this case might be different. Companies might be entitled to pay money to the consultants, the software developers, depending upon the smaller phases. It also helps organizations to structure and streamline their budgets, ensure that the priorities of the management are set in line, and then decide the project. It can also be meant that phasing out a project, either module-wise or location-wise, adds a lot of operational benefit to the company. Let us take the same example of the ERP system, or say let us take another example where the company wants to do reporting. So either the option is for them to do a Big Bang approach and take everything in one go. But what the company would do is, depending upon the resource availability, depending upon the interest level from the top management, they would break down the entire reporting structure into, say, multiple small phases. So say in phase one, they would take certain non-critical reports. In phase two, they would take reports that are semi-critical. And once these are in place, in line, they might look at, say, reports that are super critical. This also helps for the organization to change the overall approach of its people. Say if people are more savvy towards systems, they might want to change this behavior, and this happens gradually. It is obvious that this would take a longer time to execute as compared to a Big Bang approach. So unlike we saw in a Big Bang approach, where the entire project gets delivered on one single date, there will be multiple different timelines associated with a phased approach. Every phase would have its own duration, and every phase here is treated as a mini project by itself. Despite this extended time requirement, many organizations select this approach, and it's important for them to look at this, because everything might not be urgent and critical for everyone. It's important to look at individual phases so that individual phases gets delivered right. The management gets a lot of confidence about the viability of that particular project before moving on to the other aspects. So Let us give a same example where, say, the reporting infrastructure in a bank that needs to be changed. The management, although might be super convinced about this particular idea, but would want to test the waters first. So they would start small, maybe in phase one, explore certain reports in a test environment. Then check if the users are actually happy with the kind of reports that they get. Once they test the waters, if everything works okay, and if the users are really happy with the kind of outcomes, it's then that they would look at, say, phase two, phase three, and then look at the overall viability. So this is one thought process. The other thought process would be, assuming that a company is doing an ERP implementation, and the ERP, as we all know, is broken down into multiple different modules. Now, these individual modules can be divided or can be then structured as individual smaller projects, and then can be delivered and can be termed as phases. So typically, this approach spreads the entire project over a longer calendar time, breaking the project into smaller manageable sub-projects, as we spoke, and that are executed either in a sequence, that is one after the other, using a waterfall model, or at intervals to achieve the ultimate end objective of going live in all the modules, but then happening in a phased manner. The benefit is that the smaller projects can be treated as individual projects by itself, but more importantly, even the smaller projects have the ownership and have the attention from the management to get delivered. Organizations typically find this easy on the budgets, as I mentioned, because the smaller phases would also have, say, the payment options linked with the delivery. So when, say, phase X gets delivered, a certain part of payment can get released. So typically in, say, government projects or in proposals where the entire project gets divided into phases, every phase will have a payment cycle. So say if phase one gets delivered, 20% payment gets released. When phase two gets delivered, 30% payment gets released. And these phases can be mutually decided. Phase one could be small or could be large, or maybe phase two or phase three could be large, depending upon how the project gets divided into phases. Again, depending upon the criticality. Another important reason for using this phased approach might be the interdependency on other projects. Say if there are certain set of resources who are already engaged in one particular project, it might be difficult to engage them in another project at the same time. Or if, say, there are certain IT infrastructure that is already being utilized in one project, it might not be feasible to buy new set of hardware, but then utilize the one that is getting, say, expired in another project. So assuming that for a small time duration, a project was launched, which wanted, say, people's views about a particular functionality. So say if there was a functionality to judge the buying behavior basis a particular product launch in the market. Now this is a absolute time bound exercise. So once this exercise is over, the underlying resources, like say the servers on which this particular functionality was hosted, this would also get free. So then from a project perspective, it becomes easy to utilize the underlying resource from this particular project to another project. So this also happens to be one of the easiest reasons why companies look at a phased approach. Needless to say, the resource dependency, the time pressures, the cost priorities, and the mindset of the management obviously are important factors in considering this. In situations where a critical resource needs to work on multiple different projects at the same time, it is actually the duty of the project manager office or the project planner to ensure that they get the relevant time from the SMEs, that is the subject matter experts, on their relevant projects. And you would not have the domain consultants. So these are highly skilled resources, highly specialized people who would know the domain in and out. So their time is important, and hence the phased approach where once their engagement is done in one particular project, they can be pulled into another. For the same reason, organizations where multiple projects or initiatives run in parallel, a phased approach allows the senior management teams to provide quality review time for the multiple initiatives. Now, if there are multiple different smaller initiatives that are run in a company, and typically this is seen in IT organizations, so management might not be able to give time or devote time to all of these. So then a phased approach is really important. So let's summarize some of the reasons for adopting the phased approach. One, it has an extended calendar period, but then it also helps to channelize the resources and the cost to ensure that the longer time durations, although taken by the project, gets met, and also relates to periodic costs outflows. It doesn't happen everything at one flow, so that a single cost outflow or a cash outflow doesn't look very high on the profit and loss or the cash flow statement, but as a periodic cost, it gets reflected in the financial statements. Alignment with other initiatives. As we spoke, there could be domain consultants working on multiple technologies, multiple different projects, and getting their time on different projects would also be critical, and hence the reason for a phased approach. Having a quality time for review. Once you do a phased approach, so say if phase one gets delivered, or once when phase one is built, you could send phase one for testing and start building phase two. So things can happen in a parallel way rather than waiting for the entire thing to get developed and then do the testing. So it might be more effective and efficient in terms of utilizing the time, because as compared to a big bang approach where everything gets delivered in one go, usually in a phased approach, you could experiment with things a little. So have multiple parallel processes running together, have multiple smaller projects running together, and more importantly, from the overall project efficiency perspective, once one particular phase gets delivered, the testing could be done in that particular phase. Development of internal team members and continuous quality improvement also happens. So assuming that there was one phase that was delivered and there were certain topics or there were certain places that needed a lot of attention and a lot of rework. So there is a learning curve here which can be replicated in another phase. So this phased approach is also beneficial for the software companies, because the learning from one particular phase can be taken to another phase. The trained and the experienced resources, as we said, can be used in multiple different phases, and that's where the dependencies on external domain consultants or functional experts can be mitigated, so as to have a proportionate time and ensuring that the project managers also utilize their time as per their availability. The outcomes of the phases can act as a feedback, and you could have a feedback mechanism. So the point that I made, if one particular phase gets delivered and during the testing phase, the testers feel that there were a lot of bugs, it was not coded in a particular fashion, this particular feedback can be passed on to the other phases of the project as well, where it could result into a lot of operational efficiencies. So having looked at a phased approach and a big bang approach, there is also one particular approach that gets widely recognized here. Now, this is called as a template-based approach. Now, template-based approach is nothing drastically different, but it's just an extension of the phased approach. What it says is that when there are similar systems or solutions that have to be implemented across various units of the organizations, then these particular repeatable implementations can take the form of something called as a template. Now, this is really important because a template is a tool where repeatable or the same kind of projects can get delivered using the same set of rules. So imagine a situation. So say every day you go to say Amazon.com to buy certain set of groceries. Now you could have an automated script where say Amazon.com says that, is that a part of your monthly grocery list? If yes, then every month on month it gets delivered to you. So what we are doing in this case is a template is formed basis your buying pattern or buying behavior, and month on month it gets repeated. So let's extend the same analogy to software projects. In this case, because it's more repeatable, it's more standard, it's systematic throughout the organization, the same repeatable template can be used more as an automation tool, and the same work can be done through different parts of the project. The best example can be seen, say, in terms of things like branch network functions, in terms of franchisees, dealers, etc., etc., where a same functionality. So assuming that, say, there is a HRMS system has to be developed in the central office and then rolled out to the different regional offices. Now, the template that you've created in one regional office, that can be replicated across other regional offices as well. So the entire idea of having a templatized approach where it's more to do with automation, repeatability, the same set of functions, the same set of resources can lead to increased operational efficiencies. Believe me, the first time that this gets implemented, there will be a lot of learning curve. There can be a number of places where there could be a lot of complexities involved, there could be a lot of rework involved. But first time that the template gets operationalized and the results come into the live environment, and once they start working really well, the same approach can just be repeated in multiple different places. It's like creating one particular content and replicating that content across multiple different segments. At times, users from other locations are invited to provide requirements as well. So then it's a template that gets changed from the actual or the base variant. And that's where you introduce some kind of customization. But more importantly, the starting level or the starting block remains the same. The initial phase might be called as the pilot phase, and there could be a lot of time spent to ensure that the pilot phase runs really well. Once the pilot phase is completed, and we call it as the pilot project. Once the pilot project delivers the success parameters that were earlier envisaged, then the rest of the places can be easily taken care of. This approach heavily depends on the implementation templates, because this is more about automation. It is more about repeating the same set of rules. It is important that the initial set of rules that you form in the pilot project are absolutely dealt with utmost care. During the implementation project of the pilot phase, an implementation template is created, and this template gets repeated across all other implementations. The template usually consists of prerequisite information to be collected, say things like location, things like function, a set of predefined rules, a set of predefined configuration is then populated, and a particular template is created. And this template, as I've said, it can be repeated, maybe with some level of customization, but in most cases, it can be done the way it is created for the pilot project. The template is perfected at the pilot location and then later used in the subsequent rollout locations. So, say typically the dealer locations. Generally, the dealer locations would have the same kind of subsystems. So once it is perfected in one particular dealer location, the same can be replicated across all dealer locations. Often the input information required is collected in advance and is used as the input feed in the pre-configured template. And during the on-site implementation, the configurations are checked and may be tweaked in certain cases. And for all cases, the system gets tested out and the user training happens. So even though it is a template, things are still customized, if any, and then tested out before rolling out the actual functionality. A template may get fine-tuned as the implementation progresses. There could be a feedback loop in terms of getting the template right for the pilot project, and later can be quickly used to bring the changes in a new location, a new dealer location, a new franchisee location. Through the initial pilot project implementation, although it might take time and there could be a lot of rework involved, but once the system gets stabilized for the first pilot location and then the template gets finalized, all the pre-configuration items are set, and the subsequent rollouts can be carried out in a much faster way. So the whole idea is you create a perfect template for the pilot location and then do and then carry this template towards other locations. Typical examples would be, say, the dealer management systems or franchisee management systems, banks, financial institutions, organizations that deal with a lot of third-party resources or franchisee operations would be users of the template-based approaches. Say McDonald's have some numerous outlets, correct? If one particular functionality gets templatized, that means in any new outlet that opens up, the same systems need to be pushed. So the time it takes to push these systems into the production environment would be very less. Because the templates would have been created at the start of a pilot project and it would have been successfully deployed across multiple locations. So whenever this new location comes up, it doesn't take a lot of time, effort to roll out these. So in summary, we looked at project execution. We looked at the different approaches to project execution and we looked at the different methods, and we also looked at the merits and demerits. So if I have to again take a step back, we had discussed the Big Bang approach, we had discussed the phased approach, and we discussed the pros and cons of each method. We looked at situations where the Big Bang approach might be more suitable and where a phased approach can be more suitable. We also looked at why organizations take these different approaches, what is the mindset of the organization, what is the mindset of people, management, processes, etc., which are needed for a Big Bang approach, and same goes with a phased approach as well. We also looked at the templatized approach, where the repeatable implementation could happen across, say, dealer networks, franchisee networks, and often a template-based rollout approach is more popularly used. Needless to say, the project estimation would differ in all the three approaches. So with this, I'd like to thank you for viewing. I hope this has been informative to you, and I'll see you in the next class. Thank you so much.